Right now, though, let's talk association. We are joined by an NBA analyst. He played his college ball at UNLV and Arizona State. He spent more than five seasons in the NBA in both video and as an assistant. He is co-host of the Dunker Spot podcast. He is Steve Jones Jr. Steve, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. I'm hoping everyone is well. I'm happy to be here.
You know what? I can't speak for everyone, but I think most people are well, and it's great to have you here. All right, so let me start first, Steve, with the Suns and the Knicks, because they played last night. If I had said to you before the season that the Knicks would be playing meaningful and important games in late April and battling for a top four seed in the East, what would you have said?
I wouldn't have said anything. I would have laughed at you.
Right.
But that's the turnaround they've made, and credit to Coach Tibbs for getting that buy-in from that group of guys, and credit to Julius Randle for taking the leaps that he's made as a star. I mean, not just being an all-star, but being someone who is consistently scoring, hitting threes, step-backs. People are waiting for the shoe to fall, but he's been great all season long. And I think this is a team that buys into what they're doing, plays hard on both ends, grinds you offensively, gets after you defensively, and they've bought in and put themselves at a level to compete and potentially make some noise in the playoffs.
Steve Jones Jr., my guest, you know, you answered my next question. I was going to say, when you watch them, what do you see? And I think the answer to that. But in terms of the Knicks, it seems like also, Steve, they've got a pretty strong identity. How important is it to have that strong identity? And then how significant is it once you get to the postseason?
It's very important. I mean, we talk about the beauty of the game now, but it's kind of a copycat league. A lot of teams want to play in similar ways, play in similar fashions. This is a team that knows who they are. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. And they just focus on what they can do and get after it. And that's kind of why I enjoy watching them play in this age of NBA basketball. It's going to carry them through the playoffs, because that kind of defensive mindset, that kind of ability to attack a superstar defensively, that can have success in the playoffs. And offensively, you're going to have their challenges, but teams are going to try and take your good stuff away anyways. If you know what you have to do to get and create opportunities, it's going to give you a shot to contend.
Steve Jones Jr., NBA analyst, joining us. Now, Miami Heat fans got pretty worked up when you predicted that if the Knicks get that fourth seed, they will advance in the postseason. What made you feel that way, and then what do you make of the reaction from Heat fans?
Well, the reaction was funny, because I was really talking about the Hawks and the Celtics.
Yeah.
But they got super mad, which is okay. I get it. Because I actually don't like the Knicks matchup with Miami. That's a whole different story. The reason why I would say the Knicks, if they can get that 4-5 matchup, have a shot to get to the next round is, again, because of their ability to defend, their ability to score. I don't like their matchup with the top three seeds in the East. I think they could be a tough out, but I don't think they have enough offense to beat Brooklyn. I don't think they have enough size and length to beat Philadelphia. I would be interested in seeing them play Milwaukee, but that's usually an unpopular opinion for me. So I think for them to make the noise that they could make with this team, it has to be in that 4-5 matchup. But I think with the defense that they bring and that game plan defense for superstars, they got a shot in the first round of that 4-5 matchup.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. Steve, so go back to the Heat for a minute. What do you make of the fact that they went to the finals last year, but they're currently two games over 500 and they're sitting in the number 7 hole in the East as of today? When you look at them, what do you see?
Well, I see a team that's still trying to find itself. Whether it's injuries, whether it's health and safety protocols, they haven't necessarily been able to put together the same lineups, make the same run they had last year. Obviously, when you make Victor Oladipo, that's to raise your ceiling, but his injury is also taking you back to the team that you were. So it's an interesting dynamic where Miami has the ability to still make that run and cause problems for teams, but they are who they are. You know, there's a low margin of error for this team. They need X, Y, and Z to happen. So defensively, they have to get after you and get stops. Offensively, they have to be hitting shots. If one of those two doesn't happen, they find themselves in a tough game, and it's a coin flip, which is why they're only a couple games over 500. So it's a team that you should still believe in, but you can also see exactly what's holding them back.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. All right, so the Lakers, Steve, beat Orlando last night. They snap a 3-game losing streak. AD went 18-8. LeBron is expected back at some point. So when you look at the Lakers, I mean, do they, because they're the Lakers, do they need to get everybody on the court and get some time together, or can they just flip the switch and go?
I would say you want to see LeBron get on the court before the playoffs, but he's LeBron, so you can figure that out. I think getting Anthony Davis back is key, especially to give him some minutes with Andre Drummond. I'm still not concerned with the Lakers as far as the run goes because they are matchup proof. They've shown enough over the course of the year that you can believe in what they can do in the playoffs defensively. They haven't lost a beat even without those guys, which is a key piece coming in towards the playoffs. And then offensively, you're still going to have Anthony Davis. You're still going to have LeBron James, and that's still going to cause teams issues. So you still have those two. You still have the defense. They have an ability to still make that championship run.
All right, so what about the Nets? If you're not concerned about the Lakers as much, would you be more concerned about the Nets? I mean, they've got that talent, but that talent has not spent much time together on the floor. And then you got James Harden going back to square one. Do they need time together before the postseason, or can they put this thing together somehow on the fly?
I think they can still put it together just because of the mindset they've shown this season. I mean, we think about the top three, the super team type talent, but they have a mindset that's a little bit different. They're self-aware as far as over the season knowing, hey, we need to get better defensively to get to where we want to go. I mean, you have a situation where Steve Nash is asking KD if he wants to come off the bench or start. That speaks volumes to the culture. I think the Nets are in a position to still be okay. Now, obviously, you want to see those three together. You want to be able to work out some of the kinks lineup-wise, fourth quarter-wise, close game-wise. But having those three is still going to be an issue for teams to deal with in fourth quarters and close games and playoff series. And even without having them the entire season, I think they've only played seven games, you're still the top team in the East. So it's hard to feel too bad about what you're doing.
We're talking to Steve Jones Jr. for a few more moments. Steve, at the top of the interview, I asked you about the Suns and the Knicks. Let me ask you about the Suns specifically. We're talking about a team now that won 19 games in 2019. They averaged less than 23 wins the three seasons prior. Then they have that breakout in the bubble last year. What do you make of how much this team has changed with the arrival of Monty Williams before last season and then Chris Paul before this year?
Well, I think you have to give a tip of the cap to Monty Williams for bringing that mindset, bringing the ability to have those guys believe in what they're trying to do, get the effort and attack defensively, score offensively. Then you add Chris Paul to that, and now they're off to the races. This is a team that believes in what they're doing. They got the lineup versatility. They have the ability to execute in the half court, get after you defensively. Those are things that will translate in the playoffs. So I'm a firm believer in what Monty's done in Phoenix. I think with Chris Paul's veteran presence, his ability to close games, his ability to operate the offense and make sure everyone's in the right spot, it's really helped Phoenix take it to another level.
So, Steve, your father, Steve Snapper Jones, was an ABA All-Star. He was a beloved NBA analyst and figure. What was it like growing up the son of a legend?
It was a blessing. It was 1,000% a blessing. I was able to get a master's education in the game of basketball and also in life. But just to get different viewpoints, different thoughts on the game, to be able to see the game in different ways, even if I didn't understand it, for 18, 19, 20 years, I felt like my dad would ask me questions about basketball and I would answer it, but I wouldn't get the right answer. And I kept inching towards it. And, when I knew I started to know about the game was when I was able to kind of have those conversations with them, because I had some really bad takes, Jim. I'm not going to lie. I had some really bad takes. But that was the biggest blessing, and him just letting me know, hey, all you have to do in this life is be yourself, be authentic, and the rest will take care of itself.
He was super, man. He was such a good dude. I would imagine, Steve, it's got to be a blast even to this day. As you go around the league and you do your job and you do your work, then people stop you and probably tell you things like, man, your dad, he was the best. I mean, is that just a blast and a kick for you to hear still?
Honestly, it's the greatest part. As much as I miss him, to be able to know that the person he was to me, he had that impact on others, and to continue to hear those stories, it kind of fuels me and it warms my heart. So it's always great to hear that stuff.
I figured as much. That's cool to hear. Hey, Steve, really quick before you go, I'm older, so I'm curious, because you played at UNLV for a time, mm-hmm. and you were extremely well-respected there and beloved for your energy, for your effort, the way you got after it, because I came up when I came up. I came up in the glory days, man. I came up when they were in the Big West, and I went to UC Santa Barbara, and then I broadcast games, and, man, they would roll in, and I've told the story a million times. I don't even give a damn at this point that people are tired of hearing it. It was an awesome, awesome time. When Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony and Mo Scurry and Grandmama rolled in there, it was like the Lakers. As somebody who played at UNLV, did you still feel any of that vibe? Did any of the guys ever come around the program?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The legends would come and they'd talk to us. You always felt it. It wasn't necessarily a pressure, but you knew you were chasing ghosts. I mean, you were the team in Vegas back then. And the city wanted that. You know, they wanted to be able to have that pride, and you had to carry it on your shoulders. So yeah, when you were able to hear from LJ, hear from Anderson, it would get you excited, and you go out there and try and do your best.
Man, those were fun times, and they played hard, dude. They played hard. I mean, we know they had game, they had talent, but they played hard. Both ends of the floor and defensively, they got after you. That amoeba defense that Tim Gergerich used to teach them, man, that was tough.
Very tough, very tough. And I think that's one of the things people, I think that Vegas loves glitz and glam teams. They like a team that gets after it and can get stops and make things happen. So it'll be interesting to see.
Dad Grit, he's an NBA analyst who plays college ball at UNLV and Arizona State, co-host of the Dunker Spot podcast, Steve Jones Jr. Steve, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Steve Jones Jr. joining us. All right, talking some NBA. Coming up at 11:40, Terrace Marshall Jr., NFL draft prospect.